grateful, Father, you would come and you would just speak to your people the way you do. And it boggles my mind sometimes to see your ways, the way you do things. And when things like look to me like they're going to fall apart, when things aren't going right, and all of a sudden you just shine a light on, you say, oh, this is exactly where it's supposed to be. This is exactly where you want me. This is how you want me to go. This is you leading us, Father. We are so thankful, Father, to recognize your hand in all our lives and everything we do, and just teaching us just to let go and let you have your perfect will, Lord. So tonight I ask that you would do this again, Lord. Just help me to get out of the way. Help me just to say what you once said, Lord, and just blind my eyes to all the interference, anything Satan would bring against me, Lord Jesus, but that you would speak. And then, Father, let the hearts be aware. Let them be open. Let them be ready to hear what you have for us, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. I'm going to read out of Genesis 4th chapter. There's 4 verses here, or 3 verses, 5 verses, whatever it is. We're going to start at Genesis 4, start at verse 3. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. This time of the week, it's kind of getting tired. I get tired at work. You know, your mind gets wore down. And some of you, of course, don't work too much. You work, I'm saying, you don't go out to. You're very busy, I shouldn't have said. But I think most of us get wore down by this time of the week sometimes. So God appreciates your sacrifice of coming and listening to what he has to say. Genesis 4, verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You may have your seat. There we go. Almost. My tablet's not acting right. All right. So tonight I want us to talk on the thought of scientific evidence. Scientific evidence. And what we're going to look, I'm just going to kind of put some out there to kind of keep in mind what's going on. We're going to look at the fact that God will give people scientific evidence even when he can't reveal the truth to them because they're not elect. And so the non-elect, they still have to be judged. And God's not going to be just to condemn a person and send them to hell if he did not give them a reason to believe the word is true. Because he does not reveal himself to the non-elect the way he does to the rest of us. And so he uses other kind of evidence to prove to them that the word is still true. So let's see if this is what he does. Brother Branham says this. How did Abel know what to do in order to offer a proper sacrifice to God? So he asks that. There is no Bible written. Adam didn't know. Nobody knew. How did Abel know that his offering was going to be accepted? And, you know, when he went and offered it, he said, by faith he received the revelation of the blood. By faith he received the revelation of the blood. Cain didn't get such a revelation, even though he had a commandment, so he couldn't offer the right sacrifice. Do you see what he's saying? Now, Cain, he never got that. God came to Abel. He said, you want a sacrifice? This is what I accept. He never went to Cain and said that to Cain because Cain was serpent seed, and he don't reveal his word in the age to serpent seed. He only reveals it to the elect. And I don't have time. You can go back through the message, and Brother Branham said that many, many times. He said, why can't people see it? He says they can't see it. They have nothing to see with. It's only for the elect. Jesus said, blessed are you who have eyes to see and ears to hear, because everyone doesn't have eyes to see and everyone doesn't have ears to hear. And so if you can see tonight, oh my goodness, if you can see tonight that you have recognized the word for this day and it is changing you, it's making you more like Christ all the time, you need to recognize that you are the most blessed person on this earth, because billions of people don't have that. So why is this? How could God be just to say, okay, I revealed it to Abel. I'm not going to reveal it to Cain, and he doesn't know better, and I'm going to send him to hell anyways. It don't work that way. God is just. He will not do that. And so what did he do? He went to Cain. He said, now, Cain, you recognize that I accepted your brother's sacrifice. I didn't accept yours. But if you will do well, which is what your brother did, I will accept you. You talk about the love of God. God loved Cain even though he was serpent-seed because he know Cain did not choose to be serpent-seed. He didn't sit there back in eternity and say, you know what, when I get born, I want to be serpent-seed. No, he didn't have a choice in the matter. So God said, I'm going to give you a choice. And if you will just do what Abel did, I will accept you. Oh, my goodness. That is love. That blows my mind. You know, how in the world that God could love him that way, but he loves everyone that way. For God so loved the world, that means cosmos. That means the order of the world, the things out there. It's not just the elect. It's not just his own kids. He loves everybody. He don't desire anyone to die. He wants to give them all a chance, and that's what he's doing. So he goes to Cain and says, now, if you will just worship that way, I know you don't have the revelation, but I will accept you because you will walk in all the light you see. And if you walk in all the light you see, I will accept you. That's how he's saying. That's what he's saying to the foolish virgin. That's why he's saying to people in this world. He said, I'm showing you the light. I'm showing you the truth for today. But if you reject it, then I'm going to be just in sending you to hell because it's right there. The evidence is before you. It's not a revelation like for you and I. It's a scientific evidence. Something that they can look at, their mind, their mental mind up here can comprehend it because that's all they have to see with. You talk about the grace of God. He said, I want to save everybody, but you all won't choose to be saved. It's not the same with the elect. With the elect, he says, I'm going to save you whether you want to or not because you are mine. Oh, hallelujah. That's why you can see people come to church and struggle and leave and come back, and they just keep coming back. Other people, they struggle, leave, and they go away, and you never see them again. Because God says, if you're mine, you might struggle, you might try to leave, you do whatever you want, but all the Father given me will come, and I'm not going to lose a one. These are my brothers. These are my sisters. Oh, my. He can only reveal his word for that age, to the elect for that age. Without that seed, you can't receive it. So then he has to be able to give them some kind of proof, some kind of evidence. I say, now this is the truth. Walk in it. Walk in it. Why? Because he loves so much. But then the non-elect, they can look right at that. We're going to see here. They can look right at the evidence, and there's no way to say that wasn't God. And yet they decide, I still am not going to follow that. Because they have Satan's evidence coming against them, and they had to make up their mind, and they make up their mind wrong because they can look at the logical, reasonable approach instead of a little bit of mental faith. Israel came out of Egypt. What evidence did God give them, right? It blows my mind to see how much evidence, what God did to prove to Israel that they were his kids, that he was going to fulfill his promise. Look at all the miracles he did in Egypt, right? He fulfilled the word that he's going to send him a deliverer. Here he came. Moses came walking down the road. He was delivered. They were in Egypt for the amount of time the promise said, 400 years. And now they had all the miracles until the Egyptian just ran them out and said, get out of here. Don't take everything and take all our gold and silver and anything you want. Just leave. The mighty hand, he said, I brought you out. And they were shouting and rejoicing. They got to the Red Sea, and they killed that army that coming after them. And they were shouting, rejoicing, and having a big old time. And Moses said, now we're going to go to Sinai because that's where God's going to visit us. And he said, that's where God met me before. He said, bring them out here, and God wants to come and meet them. Can you imagine what they're thinking? Oh, my goodness, we're going to see God. Oh, my goodness, I can't wait. We're going to Sinai, and we're going to see God. He's going to come and talk to us. He's not just going to talk to Moses. He's going to talk to all of us. What an opportunity. And on the way, Exodus 13, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All they had to do, you might have been shoeing your horse, you might have been pitching your tent, you might have been stirring your beans in your pot, and all you had to do, look up, and there was your evidence. There was either a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud, and you could say, God is going with us, right there in front of you. They could see it with their natural eye. Now, you and I don't have that. We have to, and this is a whole different message that God's been dealing with me on, but we have to see beyond this natural and see beyond that, and that natural veil to see beyond that, the reality of who Christ is. I'm so far off. I'm going to keep going. Okay. So anyways, Egypt, Israel, they could look up and could see physical evidence that there was God leading them the whole time. Exodus 19, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunder and lightning. I'm sorry. Now, they got to Sinai, and God told Moses how to deal with it. He said, don't let anyone come to the mountain. Stay away. Keep the animals away. Keep everything away, because if you touch the mountain during this time, you'll die, right? And so Moses got the whole camp out there, a couple million people, I guess, got them. Okay, now, God's going to come down on the mountain. So they're sitting there. They had their breakfast, and they're just waiting. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there are thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Can you imagine how loud that was? And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, God spake and God answered him by a voice. I'm sorry, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. So here they were. They had come out there and God fulfilled the promise. Moses said God's going to meet them. And the entire camp stood there and watched that happen. How could you argue? How could you say God's not with us? How could you doubt anything? What did he show? He said, I am a mighty God. Trust me, I brought you this far with a mighty hand. Look what I can do. Just my presence just about destroys this mountain. What an evidence. Exodus 20, and the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. You know what they did? They turned and ran. Said, this is too much. This is scary. This is terrifying. The presence of God is terrifying. And yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a scary thing, friends. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They're afraid of dying. They just said, don't do this anymore. God is too great. He's too powerful. He's too terrifying. Just you speak to us, Moses, so we don't have to hear the voice of God. Brother Branham said one of the worst mistakes they ever made, they wanted to have a law to keep instead of having God lead them. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. So what's he doing? He's proving it. He's saying, I'm proving to you that I am who I said I was. I want you to keep this in mind so that you sin not. Because when Satan comes to try to get you thinking one way or the other, remember what happened on the mountain. Remember what I've done for you. Remember how I led you and all the things I've done. So I come down to prove to you that I am who I said I was. I am who Moses talked about. I am that one. I am the I am, and I am a mighty God, so that when you're tempted to go chase after something else, remember who I am. I'm proving it to you. He hasn't changed, friends. There ain't a one of us here in this that goes to the church cannot look at something in your life or someone around you and say, I know God is real because I saw that happen, I saw that happen, I saw that happen. It's not a big mountain shaking. It's something greater. It's your nature changing. And brother and sister, that's greater than any mountain shaking or fire or anything else, because that's Jesus Christ himself, God himself, living inside of you. What more can we want? What more can we ask for? And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. My, He said, now recognize it. I'm here to prove. Here's my scientific evidence. Here's everything around you. And I have spoke to you from heaven. Now don't go running off sinning and disbelieving anymore. You would think that that would last a lifetime, wouldn't you? You would think that that would be enough. But then you look at your own self. And look what God has done for you. And look, so many times we get backslid and we go, we're doubting, we're fearful and all the things. We have a bad attitude about stuff. Think about it. It's no different. Plus we have, four thousand years since then of proof. We have a Bible to read from. We have the message. We have all this stuff, years of proof to see that God is real. God has done all these things. And yet so many times we get a bad attitude when things don't go the way we want. We're ready to walk out. We're ready to shut the doors. We're ready to just have, you know, run off and chase some addiction or something because it's not working the way we want. Moses went up on the mountain. God said, come up on the mountain. The people saw him go. He was gone for 40 days. Just a few days later, a few weeks, however long it was. And what did they do? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. All that God had done, all that he had vindicated through the prophet. And then when things didn't work out the way they thought they should work out, they said, okay, well, we're going to try something new here. Let's make a denomination. Let's sit down. Let's make another message church, and we're just going to kind of do it the way we want. And we're going to have our own ideas. We're going to put our own creeds and our theology together, and we're going to chase another God besides the one that the prophet introduced us to. Why do they do this? Because their faith was mental faith. Remember, the vast majority of them died in the wilderness. Just a few actually were the elect. Just a few went into the promised land. The rest were not elect. They could not receive that revelation in their heart about the word for their day that the promised land was theirs. And so it was all mental. It was all mental. And when they were just going by that, you have to have a constant reaffirming of this evidence. Because once it's gone, then you're just like, all you got is your mind again. And then Satan gets in your mind, and pretty soon you don't know what you believe anymore. That's what happens. It was exactly the same way. We see it around us all the time. We have campground Christians, Brother Bram called it, where you got to get to the campground and get a good high, and you get anointed, and you praise God, and you worship, and you say amen to the word, and then you go home, and by the time it's time to come to church next Sunday, you're back down to the place like, man, I just don't even know if I'm a Christian or not. I just don't know. I don't feel like praising God. I know that for sure. I guess I'll go to church. What is it? Because it's just mental. It's just going on in your head, and your evidence is because, well, I shouted, so I know I'm good. I had an anointing. I did this and I did that and I, you know, all this thing. I was healed and all this stuff God does. But when it just sits into your mind and it doesn't go into your heart, then brother and sister, you need to go back and get another high. You need to go get another fix from the Holy Spirit. But friends, when you got it in your heart, you can walk through a desert for 3 months and you'll still not be shaken. Hallelujah, because you know there's something in you that keeps you going. You can walk through the desert. You can walk through the fire. You can walk when you can't have a friend around you. God ignores you. You can't hardly pray. You barely get to church, and yet you're not any more discouraged than you were when you were shouting. Why? Because you know there's something inside that just keeps you going. It ain't in my mind. This ain't something I believe in my head. This is something that's the thoughts of my heart. Oh, can you differentiate? That was such a thing. Brother Jerry preached a couple weeks ago. You have to know the difference between the thoughts in your head and the thoughts in your heart. Because the thoughts in your head will lie to you. The thoughts in your heart will take you to heaven if you bother to believe them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my. They needed a scientific evidence. They needed it over and over and over. Oh, we're going to die out here from thirst. God gave them water. That was wonderful. But now we're going to die of starvation. God gave them food. Oh, now we're sick of this food. We need some meat. So God gave them some meat. Well, now we're sick of this. What was it? It was a typical Christian attitude without the Holy Ghost. Complaining about the church, complaining about how this works, complaining about how that works, and I don't like this and I don't like that. What we need, brother and sister, is a move of the Holy Spirit and get out of our heads and get into our heart. That's all it takes, friends. It's really that simple. And then we will quit hearing all the bad attitudes and the complaining and everything that's going on. Why? Because there's not something that I'm just thinking about in my head, but from my heart there's a reality, and it just won't quit. Even with hard scientific evidence, friends, they still chose to walk away. Look what they did. How much more evidence can you have than what Israel had out there in the wilderness? And yet they still chose, no, I don't think this is going to, it's not true after all. Why? Because it had gone away. And what happened when the big test came? The whole purpose, the whole plan of God, and they knew it, was to take them out of Egypt and restore them back to their promised land. 400 years, the promise was there. I'm going to take you back. And God did all that he did. Oh, my goodness. All that he did. And he fulfilled his word. He fulfilled his word. He proved himself and proved himself. And they got right down to it. It's time to go over. Well, let's check this land out and make sure it's what we think it is. Because what's the point of taking it if it ain't what we think it is? Let's send some spies over there and see the evidence of the land. Their spies came back and they brought that the proof that it was exactly what God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. They got grapes the size of basketballs. They got so much over there. The wheat fields are planted. The grapes are ready to go. Everything is ready. Let's just go take it. And what did they do at the last minute? Know if the message is true or not after all. I'm not sure about this after all. Maybe we should look at this. Let's examine the prophet a little bit closer. Let's dissect the message a little bit more. I'm not really sure that this is really going to produce a rapture after all. Exactly what's happening, friends. Let's start another church over here where we're not quite so fanatical. Let's start another church over here where we can maybe add this or we can have this. You know what? If we just shout and praise God a lot, that's all he really wants. They refused to believe. Why? Because they took Satan's evidence that said, you know what? It's a great place, but it's too difficult. You can't take it. And if you try it, you're going to lose your kids to the devil. You're going to be killed. Believers look to the unseen. Unbelievers and make believers look to the seen, what they can see naturally with their eyes. The make believers, they're very, you know, it's what you can see. I preached on that recently, right? It's just what you can see, and that's why they get discouraged. And, well, there's too much evidence. Oh, my goodness, I got sick. I'm going to die. Oh, my goodness, my kids are going to the world. They're going to die. Oh, my goodness. What are you looking at? Let me say it again. I said it a couple weeks ago, I think. He said, what? You cannot get discouraged looking at the unseen. You cannot get discouraged looking at the promise. You cannot get discouraged looking at what God has done in your life. You can't get discouraged if you look at the unseen and what God is doing. You can get discouraged if you get eyes off of that and all of a sudden, well, I don't like this and I don't like that, and we're whining and crying again. Don't look at Israel. Because we do the same thing. We have the evidence, friends. We have the evidence that the land is a good land. And we have been there, and we have taken it. We are there, and we can see what it is. And if you haven't seen the evidence anywhere else, look right here, because the evidence is right here. Let me tell you some of the things that God has done to me, that he put me in that promised land. I'm overcoming those enemies. I am possessing my inheritance, and so are some of you. My goodness, it's here. The evidence is here. What are you looking at? You need a theological, scientific evidence or not? Same time when Jesus was here, he ran into the same kind of problem. Excuse me, just a second. John 6, after he had fed the multitude, and they seen it, and they had They had gathered all their remnants up. And he says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They had scientific evidence that he was the Messiah. Look at all these baskets of remnants that came off just a few fish and biscuits. Scientific evidence. And they say, we know you're the Messiah. We're going to make you the king of Israel. Completely out of line. Completely not supposed to happen. Not the word for their age. And so what did Jesus do? He just went away. He left him there. Hid himself from him. Because he's not going to go along with that. It was all mental. So what happened? He went across the lake. You know the story about that, on the water and all that. And so he says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. They're looking for him. They want to make him king. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Look what they were looking for. They were just looking at what they could do naturally. Not even the miracle of it, but just so they could have something to eat without having to work for it. They need to live in the United States of America, where half the people in this country are trying to do the same thing. Not trying to, they're doing it. So some of you who have a job, don't quit working because they need their taxes to feed them. It's human nature, friends. It's human nature. You let somebody, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you let somebody lean on you today, and you're going to be carrying them tomorrow. Where I work, and we can see that evidence of that. Do this for me, and do that for me, and do this for me. And we like to help people, brother and sister. Sometimes your helping is destroying them. Get back to what I was talking about. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He said, quit looking at these things around you. You want to make me the king because you think that I'm supposed to take over the kingdom right now and run the Romans out, and all you're doing is looking for some kind of natural thing instead of seeing the word for your hour. Stop seeking these earthly things. What are you tore up about? What's going on around you? Why is it bothering us? We're staring eternity in the face. Not just staring it in the face. We are partaking of eternity right now. It's in you. If you are born again, you already have eternity inside you. That eternity cannot leave. You cannot die. It is your evidence. But you can't see it with your natural eye. And so it's like, well, is it really there? Is it really there? Is it? Where is your faith anchored? Faith is the evidence. What has God told you? He tells you if it's there or not. Oh, my. Look, friends, they came seeking this. They were going to make him king. A short time later, they walk away because they can't understand what he's preaching. They say, this is a hard saying. Oh, my goodness, you know what? Why? We're going to drink your blood? What did his disciples say? We don't understand what you're saying either, but we ain't going anywhere. It's been revealed to them that this is the one who has eternal life. A few days after that, those same ones are crying, crucify him. We wanted to make him a king a month ago or a week or however long. Now we want to crucify him. Why is it? Because their scientific evidence was telling them that this is not what they wanted. John 5, it says, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Do you hear what he said? He said, you're not elect. His word is not abiding in you. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What's he telling you to do? Find your evidence in the word. Find your evidence in the word being fulfilled instead of what you can see with your natural eye, instead of some miracles you see, or you get something happen to you and you say, I believe it, I believe it. Look at this. This is what God's doing. But if it's only in your head, if it doesn't continue that, when things get a little rough, when you start having hard times, and you're going to go back to your own thinking from your mind instead of from your heart. It's got to be revealed. Find your evidence in the fulfillment of the word for this day. That's how you know who you are. Not because we have miracles here. Not because we have signs and wonders. Not because you're healed. Not because you're delivered from this, delivered from that. Because you can have all that, brother and sister, not be elect. But when you can find yourself in the word, search the scripture and find yourself in the word and see what part you are playing right now. And then you can stand firm on that rock of revelation. They can't believe because the revelation was not given. They can only believe in scientific evidence. That's how the foolish virgins, friends, that's why they're going to be saved. They don't have that seed. They can't come to life, but they can walk in all the light they see. That's why you don't discourage people, whatever they're doing. Walk in the light you see, because the chance they could be given life. I don't know who's going to be and who's not. I don't think anyone else does either. But brother and sister, at least do what you can do. Encourage them. Let's bring it up to today, all right? I'm almost done, friends. We're not going to be here too long. Brother Branham says this. What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. You believe it. Your evidence is not something that you can put a scientific fact on it. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't taste it. None of your senses, your outward senses, can prove faith to you, all right? It's not there. So when you see, well, I saw this and I saw that and I saw a light, I saw a cloud, all those are scientific evidence. Your faith cannot rest in that. Think about that. You say, well, what about the cloud? My faith can't rest in that? No. Not just a picture. It's got to be the revelation of what that cloud was. That's what you have to have. And when you don't have that, you're going to throw that cloud away. Look how all the people walk away because they can't make sense of it. It's ridiculous. He said, your body has five senses. None of them senses contact God. God gave you the five senses to contact your earthly home. But you contact God by faith. The great mechanical age that we live in, people have got it scientifically prove it. Like Moses. If he was standing there at the bush, what if he'd been a modern man today? The bush was on fire. What if he said, now, wait a minute. I'm going to take this bush, some leaves off of it. I'm going down to the laboratory, get a chemical test, find out why them leaves don't burn and got fire on them. Today's version of that is, now, Brother Branham said this over here, but he said that over there, and I can't make them fit together. He must have been a lying prophet. Well, he said this about the cloud, and he was there, and yet that's the wrong time, and he shouldn't have been there hunting because out of hunting season, and I just can't believe the cloud anymore. I remember hearing one preacher, he walked away from the message. He said, now, that cloud used to be the foundation of my faith, and then when I found out that it wasn't the way Brother Branham said it, then I lost my faith in Brother Branham and the cloud and the message and everything else. And he walked away. Brother and sister, you need to walk away if that's the case, because all you have is your own mind trying to figure it out. You can't figure this out. Can you imagine they went to Noah and said, Noah, you've been preaching all this time that it's going to rain. Where is the rain? I don't know. It's up there somewhere. I don't see any rain. Doesn't it make sense, Noah, that if water was up there, it would fall down? Makes sense. Then how come you keep saying it's going to rain? Because I've been told by God. It's been revealed to me that it's going to rain, and I cannot believe anything else. In those days when a miracle was done, they took a man's word for it and went on, because they know it was supernatural. Today they got it, run it through the scientific test. And you can't prove God by scientific test. God is believed. You know him by faith. You can't prove God by scientific test, friends. I've had people say, well, when I see the message in the Bible, then I'm going to believe that it's true. If I don't see what he said in the Bible, I'm not going to believe that part of the message. That's foolishness. Who gave you a ministry to go and decide where the prophet was right and where it was wrong? Well, show me that in the Bible. Show me that ministry in the Bible. It's not there. There are people who found fault with the prophets in the Bible, and look what happened to them. They don't want their end. ridiculous. It's by faith. Here, let me just tell you about that cloud. I don't understand it. I don't understand everything that went around with it. But you know what I do know? Then something that you also know, that has been revealed to me, that I was the mighty God standing there in plain view. That's who that was. And how he got there, where Brother Branham was, or anything else, I don't care. All I know is that God has proved to me that that was exactly him fulfilling the scripture for this day. You can argue about that and decide what you want. You know, there's some people who are going to go to hell because they can't understand a hunting season. Well, he couldn't have been, he shouldn't have been out there. Can you imagine how foolish they're going to be when they're standing there at the white throne judgment and said, why did you reject the message? I couldn't understand what Brother Branham was hunting during that time. Okay, well, see that door right there? That leads to hell. You idiot. Lean into our own understanding, our own scientific evidence, the way it makes sense for us. It don't make sense, friends. It's not supposed to. He did it that way on purpose. He's hid it from the wise people, the theologians, the ones who could figure it out. He hid it from them and revealed to you. He said, when God speaks to me, I recognize his voice, and I believe that in spite of all this scientific evidence. I like the scientific evidence. I love the picture of the cloud. I love the picture of the pillar of fire. All these things are wonderful. But friends, my faith is not resting in a picture. My faith is resting in what God has told me, revealed about that picture. There's where you got to be. Brother Branham's praying. He said, we know the same pillar of fire that led Moses down there in the wilderness. Same pillar of fire, he wrote several books of the Bible, for he was anointed the word. The same pillar of fire coming upon Paul on the road to Damascus. He wrote many books of the Bible called the Word of God. And now, Lord, that same pillar of fire, by the evidence of the proof of the word and by scientific research, we see it here revealing the Word of God. He said, by the evidence of the proof of the word and by scientific research. Now, why do we need both? He's taking in everybody, because the non-elect are not going to have that evidence of the proof of the word, because it's not going to be revealed to them. It's not revealed to anybody but his elect. But he said, now we also have the scientific research. What's he saying? So anyone who wants to, you can be saved. He's given them the opportunity. He's given them the chance. Look, you might not see it the way someone else sees it, but you can see enough light around this message. You know the things. You can listen to the tapes. You can see that it's proved that God, that Brother Branham was a prophet. You can see the proof of his ministry, and you can go to message church and see the same thing happening in message churches. Even though maybe it's not revealed to your heart, you can still see that it's true. You know how you know it's true? Because when they need help, who do they come to? They know what you have is real, because they say, Mama, pray for me. I'm sick. Daddy, pray for me. This is going on. I'm having a problem. Oh, can you get Brother Jerry to pray? Can you get the church to pray for me? Why? Because they know you have an in with God. They know that you are in fellowship with God, and they know there's something real. You say, well, why don't they come? Because they can't come. But here's the thing. They can still choose to respect it and believe what they can see. But they don't. Many of them don't, because Satan offers them something better. I hope this is making sense for everyone. And not making sense, I hope it's being revealed. So what do? They find fault. They dissect the message. They reject Christ in this day. We sing a haunting song. Why didn't they recognize a mighty God who's here today? How many message believers sit in a church singing that song and still not recognizing the mighty God, because they think he's an anointing they feel when they shout, when they worship. They think he's a doctrine that they believe. And you know what? If that's all they got, then God bless them and help them to keep pushing on with that. For the elect, that never did satisfy you. I'm so glad that never satisfied me. I used to be one of those campground Christians. I'd go to every meeting I go all over the United States and Canada, everything. I'm going to service after service, camp meetings, special services, getting my spiritual high, getting my fix. Never could get satisfied. There's got to be something more. Got to be something more. And one day I found it. It found me. You know what it took to get there? A lot of beating down and whooping and discouragement and failure and failure and failure and failure until it's like beat out and said, God, I don't know. I got nothing. He said, yeah, I know. Now listen to what I got to say. Let me talk to you. My, what a time. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you come again and so encourage us and show us what you're doing. And by your word, you show us who we are. We find ourselves in the word.